It's Open Call. I'm Chris Grace.
I'm Eric Michaud.
Let's all scrunch up to the mic. Who's this?
And I'm Jordan Stidham.
Yeah.
Special guest star.
It's June something.
We're
16th. We're in Sydney. But if you're listening, it's probably the
June 15th.
The 8th or something, because we're so far ahead of you guys.
Mm-hmm. That's how the time works.
Yeah. We're in Sydney, Australia. We are in between two matinee shows at...
Well...
What?
You can't do two matinee shows.
Oh, my God.
Watch me. Watch me do two matinee shows.
Actually, 6 o'clock is kind of a matinee.
That is true. You're right.
So, at Thrones of Musical Parody at Sydney Opera House. Everyone should book their flights to come and see that. We got 2 more weeks.
Because we're real good. We've hit a stride, and we are doing real well.
Full standing ovations at intermission.
Yeah.
Which is unusual.
Mm-hmm. As they're heading out the
as they're going to ask for refunds at the box office. So we're doing a quick little interim podcast. Mm-hmm. And we've actually probably got to finish up relatively quick because you guys have another show.
We do.
So, that's right. We're between matinees.
Yeah. Because they have 4 shows today. You got 2 matinees, an early evening, and then a 3 a.m. Lock
in.
A lock in performance.
Like for a
local church.
could you imagine if we did a 3 a.m. show? Like, the bar's all just closed. Come see our show. Oh my God.
Oh, we would never survive those shows.
You would be sexually assaulted during the Walk of Shame.
Oh, yeah.
So we wanted to get together just to talk about the Tony Awards.
Yeah.
Because Jordan, you're a listener of the podcast.
Yeah, longtime fan, first time caller.
And you love, Jordan's on the phone right now.
Yeah.
With someone else trying to book a different podcast.
I told you, get me on How Did This Get Made.
Yeah. I told this you is I the wanted... closest you could get.
This is Why Did This Get Made.
Yeah. So this is, you guys like the theater and we all watched the Tony Awards.
We did. Not together, but yes.
All separately.
Yeah.
All completely legally. I actually don't know. I was told today that Australia has the highest prevalence of illegal downloads in the world.
Yep.
And it would apply here because I illegally downloaded the Tony Awards to watch.
I watched everything on Instagram.
Did you really?
Yeah, I just found different. There's so many different Broadway accounts run by drama students or even like just high school students that. Basically, just we'll upload things like performances or bootlegs or little snippets of cast recordings when they come out early. Mm. And so Instagram now knows that I'm into theater.
Oh,
so
I see.
I'm just utilizing those to get see all the performances, see all the bits from behind the scenes.
Cool.
And, yeah.
So have you only seen the performances or did you watch the whole show?
I watched some of the acceptance speeches and the performances.
Okay.
And then Billy Porter's behind during the commercial break.
I still haven't seen that yet.
Oh man.
I know, I've heard that's great.
Yeah. That's fine.
It was more just a fun spectacle that
he's
a great performer and he's just like, well, I guess I'm working tonight.
I feel like a little bit of Billy Porter goes a long way with Chris.
Oh yeah.
You're like
a little bit.
Oh, and you're done. Thank you.
Yeah. So what did you guys think of James Corden?
I thought he was fine. He was okay.
There's a lot of shrugs in the room right now.
Yeah, those read very well on the radio.
No, I think we definitely got that. That came across.
He was very, he's such a, I think he's a very good, personality.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that he did with the 2016 one he hosted as well with Hamilton and all that,
mm-hmm.
It was the same kind of vibe where he was like, isn't it inspirational to be here at the Tony Awards?
Yeah.
And, I get that that's part of what the awards shows are. It's the pageantry, but I felt like it was just a little bit too heavy-handed with that.
I thought it was weird that they went on a long list of great TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a little you're kind of highlighting that there's this other medium that's great right now, that's doing really well. And I know they built a kind of a joke into it, but it was weird. It was like...
I feel like they do that a lot on the Tony Awards. A couple years ago, they had Kristen Chenoweth and Laura Benanti singing about their canceled TV shows and how...
Right.
And it's like, we get it. Theater doesn't pay as well. Theater's not as mass medium.
Yeah.
You're not going to be famous or as famous if you're a Broadway star as if you're, Keanu Reeves. But it's also it's the same joke that they just keep hammering every year. And it's we get it. And you're preaching to the choir because the only people watching the Tony Awards are theater lovers or theater performers.
Yeah.
That's the only people watching. Look at the ratings.
Considering how badly rated it is.
Yeah.
I think they should lean into being more for
us
nerds and theater.
I have long said, put it on PBS. Yeah. And let us have 3.5 hours
yeah.
and let us do the show the way we want to do it for us. Because nobody wants to care. No one cares about Aretha Franklin singing somewhere from West Side Story. I certainly don't. Yeah. I don't want to see her do it. And I don't want to give her 4 minutes of time that the plays could be being highlighted.
Yeah. I still think that it's ridiculous that they don't do scenes from the plays.
Mm-hmm.
Because...
Well, except for Choir Boy.
Choir Boy, because it had a musical element
right,
to
right.
it. But, like, when I was growing up, they used to do scenes from the plays.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I feel like if you could make a trailer of any movie, which you can pick 1 2-minute scene from a play to do
mm-hmm.
that would be interesting. I think having the playwrights come up and talk about their plays was just like, okay, great. Like,
yeah, under, like, a montage of, like, fun clips
yeah.
with, like, no sound.
I think they should be, like, the playwrights should just be like, it's okay. Or just like, we closed already, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Like,
hi, I'm up here and we know that we're not going to win because we've already closed and the ferryman is still running. But here we are.
Yeah, I mean, like, Choir Boy closed in March, so, like,
yeah.
you know, great. Even if we win, it doesn't really help us that much.
I will say, though, it was nice to see Terrell on TV. That was nice.
Mm-hmm.
Terrell McCraney, I went to college with him.
Oh,
so it was nice to see him getting up there and kind of talking about...
Well, and I didn't realize, I didn't know Ferryman was written by Jez Butterworth. So when he got up, I was like, who is this guy? And they were like, oh, it's Jez Butterworth who wrote Jerusalem, which is a
great, you love that.
Oh, it was a great play.
Because it's Mark Rylance, and you love anything Mark Rylance.
Yes, I've never seen Mark Rylance give a bad performance.
Is that, are you being facetious?
No, I've seen him like live, I've seen him live like 5 times.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And also Wolf Hall, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, have you seen Wolf Hall?
No, I've just read the book. Legitimately, I've read
Jesus
the book.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Oh, you should definitely...
That's a running gag in Thrones.
Yeah.
The character he plays is like,
and like
I read the books.
One of the only epic book series I've ever... Like, it's Wolf Hall's just such a dense book.
There's
and,
a...
Yeah.
And the third book's coming out soon.
Seriously?
Yeah, she just announced.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You Wait, guys. It was written by a woman?
Uh-huh.
Oh, fuck that
Well,
shit.
Boycott.
I'm kidding.
Boycott.
Yeah.
Boycott, open call
a
now.
A boycott of a girl caught.
I'm just gonna grab this pineapple.
Have some pineapple.
Jesus. Well, I'm about to throw to you guys. You can talk for a little bit.
So,
I thought. well, this could be like 3D sound. I thought James Corden's bathroom bit was good. I thought he sounded really good in that, and I don't know if it's because it was a bathroom and he could hear himself better.
Uh-huh.
But in the opening number, I thought his singing was okay.
Yeah.
And in the Be More Chill, it was a Be More Chill reference,
yeah.
right? I thought he
yeah.
sounded really good in that.
Mm-hmm.
What
are your thoughts on that situation?
What is the situation?
They never credited that song as being from Be More Chill.
Did they not ask?
They did not ask permission from the author. The
really?
Author did not know it was happening. And that song is called, it's like...
Michael in the Bathroom. And it's the most popular song from...
Right.
Oh, I thought it was... I would have guessed that it was fully with the cooperation of the show.
No.
That's crazy.
So, but the thing is, they don't have to ask permission. It's parody. They don't have to. They and they're thrilled that, you know, our song got highlighted and everything, but it's like, maybe you could kick us a little advertising and say, like, that's from this show that's also still running.
Yeah.
Because they were like, you know, it's great that you did our song, but we got nothing out of it.
Because it wasn't nominated for...
Best Musical.
Best Musical, yeah, so it didn't even get to perform.
Yeah.
I think that...
I do not like that
I
show.
I don't think that they could have easily said it's from Be More Chill.
Just put the thing at the bottom of the screen.
But that's kind of clumsy. Like, they should have consulted with them and asked them first. I'm so very surprised that they didn't ask them.
Yeah,
that's
Joey kind of said he didn't know that they were going to do it.
Wow.
That's really weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, he sounded great.
Yeah, I liked that number. That was probably my favorite moment of the hosting, you know, stuff outside of the actual performances of the shows.
Yeah.
That was probably my favorite moment. The opening number was fine, but it's just like, my biggest problem is like, Broadway has this kind of, I don't know, feeling. Like, people outside of Broadway look at Broadway and go, it's all like kicking showgirls and whatnot, and that's every opening number we always give to the Tony Awards. And it's like, people who are going to maybe, like, well, let's give it a shot. Let's see what this is. Oh, it's exactly what I think Broadway is. Forget it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, stop doing that. Like, yes, that is an element of Broadway, but it's also not everything on Broadway. And, like, you could give something hip and cool and different.
Well, yeah, it's almost become like a challenge for, I guess, the producers of the Tony Awards now to, like, try to outdo
mm-hmm.
what they did the last time.
Yeah.
Ever since, like, Neil Patrick Harris hosted.
They're trying to recreate
that
number.
Because it got shared and it got sent around.
It was great.
Yeah,
it was really great.
It was amazing, but they're just like, okay, we gotta hit that again. We gotta crack that again. And, like, you know, No, like obviously they're still trying to produce a television program, mm-hmm. but it, when it's all about theater, then and like you said before, the ratings show that like it's not the Super Bowl.
No, yeah. It's not.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's not even like a rerun of Kevin Can Wait.
Wow,
they would much rather put on a Kevin Can Wait binge marathon.
Well, I know that you've mentioned this on the podcast before, but I know you listen, but like you said something about...
Something about, like, in a year, about 500,000 people see Hamilton in New York. Right.
Every show sells, every performance sells out 8 shows a week, it will be seen by less people than one episode of the worst rated episode of the worst rated television show.
Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Which is Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Crazy Ex-Girlfriend is the worst rated television
show? It's near the bottom. It's like...
So one episode...
Well, because it's probably all musical stuff.
For the whole season, for the whole season, it ranks in the hundreds of, like, top shows.
Which is why it's now done.
I really liked it. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Did you know this? Because he told me this yesterday, speaking of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend very quickly, that Santino Fontana's character left the show. He left the show, and then they brought the character back, played by someone else.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Skylar Austin, yeah. Who he has been told he looks like. Jordan's been told he looks like both people that were played by the
Skylar Astin?
Astin, yeah.
Is he related to the Astins?
I don't believe so.
Oh. Like at?
Like Sean Astin.
Sean and Fenton, no, but who's their dad? Gomez.
Oh, John Astin?
John Astin, yeah. Yeah.
I don't think so.
No, I didn't. I thought he just left.
He left about like a couple episodes into season two, and then everyone, I was like, because I watched it after it had finished and was all on Netflix, because, you know, that's how I watch TV shows now. And I asked my friends who had watched it, like, is he just gone, or did he leave to go work on a play and then he comes back halfway, mm-hmm. like, at the end of the season? No, they wrote him off, and then they brought on a new love interest, who was really wonderful, and then that love interest was on there until the end of the show. But then in the last season, they bring back Greg's character to finish some story arcs, and... They meet Skylar Astin.
Oh, weird.
Yeah,
he was thinking, like, probably Santino was like, I'm in Tootsie, I can't. Like, I'm in rehearsals, or I'm in development for a show, I'm not coming back. Or he just didn't want to.
Speaking of Skylar Astin and Spring Awakening, I think that Jonathan Groff should host. I think he would
be great. Oh, he'd be great.
Somebody else, at the very end of the Tonys, I don't know if you saw this, but Ben Platt, before he presented, did a couple of bits.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, it's almost like, and he would be... probably pretty funny as the host.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was almost like angling for like a mini hosting. He like hosted for like 30 seconds at the end. It was like, oh, he would be pretty funny.
It was his tryout?
In a way, like, I wouldn't be surprised if him and Andrew Rannells like co-hosted 1 year.
That'd be fun.
I think that would be fun.
Yeah. I would love to see Laura Benanti host. I think she's hilarious.
Yeah.
She's great, and I think she'd be wonderful. I'd love to see even Sutton Foster. She's very dry, and she's very funny when she's just herself.
Well, again,
so if you had like
that bit was great. I want cash. The I want cash bit. Yeah. Johnny's. Yeah.
Well, the other thing is,
sorry,
why not have them host? Because James Corden hosting doesn't help your ratings. You know,
they think it does. They seem to still
does,
think
it clearly doesn't.
Yeah, so they still seem to think like having Pink come on to sing "Love Is a Many Splendored Thing" is going to somehow do something. And if they always push it to like the last hour of the show, and I'm like, nobody who wants to see Pink sing is going to sit through 2.5 hours of Broadway when they have no interest in it just to see her sing one song they've never heard.
Especially now, because they can just wait, not even till the next morning.
Yeah.
A couple hours later, that will be clipped and they can just watch that on YouTube.
Exactly.
Speaking of us, Santino Fontana as well, what do you think of Tootsie?
Oh, you know, I listened to the album, and it was one of those things where I listened to it, and I love David Yazbek so much, mm-hmm. and I was really, like, priming myself, like, this is going to be incredible. He just won with the band's visit, and so I was like, okay, here we go. And it's kind of like a return to form, almost, for Yazbek, like, the Dirty Rotten Scoundrels kind of jazzy sound to it, mm-hmm. and there's that one song that's the... I know it's gonna happen. Here's what's gonna happen, and it's like that song's gonna be everywhere. But like, other than that, there's some really fun things in there. I'm surprised that that's the number they chose to do for the Tonys.
Yeah.
Even though it definitely showcased, it was like, great. It's Santino up front and center, and then like
he does his change.
Yeah, he does his change. It's the big thing, and then the jokes about they have those big posters.
Yeah.
With, like, cheekily changing the titles of all the famous musicals. But, yeah, I mean, it was fine.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any art form that is as self-referential as musicals.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's so relentlessly just talking about themselves.
Because over if you if you've come, they make the assumption that if you've come to see a musical, you have some background in musical, or yeah. at least like them enough that you'll recognize a little Fall of Rain, or
yeah.
you know, or like a Beauty and the Beast reference or something. You'll have yeah. an Oklahoma reference in your belt.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's no real film that's like.
It like, happens in films, but like not with the regularity of,
right.
of musicals.
Well, I mean, like I think about Musical of Musicals, the musical, right? Or Title of Show, these smaller musicals that are like, we're just going to cram as much of the other shows as we can into like our lens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in movies, it's like you've got like, you know, Scary Movie. And you've mm-hmm. got a couple of them per year.
Yes.
But not like, almost every comedy on Broadway has some kind of meta reference to yeah. another musical.
Oh, yeah.
And as we've stated before, they always have a gay joke in them.
Yeah.
Like, they always do.
And I don't think... I think that's kind of a new thing. Not the gay joke thing, but, like, the meta thing, I think, is kind of new. Like, I feel like the producers kind of started that. Mm. Because I don't remember shows being that self-referential before the producers. Mm. And the producers, like, in, you know, Ola would say something like, oh, should that come downstage right? You know, things like that.
I wonder if it stems from Forbidden Broadway...
Oh, I'm sure.
Being like, you know what? Why don't we just do these jokes in our show?
Yeah.
You know?
Like, instead of letting them make fun of us, why don't we just do it ourselves?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought the Tootsie performance was fine.
Yeah.
I thought, I'm like, while watching it, I'm like, this is not making me want to go see this. This is not selling any tickets to me. I thought it was okay. I thought it was really okay at best. Honestly, I don't think many of the performances did any good to sell tickets.
Well, were there any that you thought, oh, I want to see this more than I did?
The Prom. And I know that you didn't love that performance, but I thought...
I hated it.
I thought the Prom came off really well. I thought the number was fun. I liked the message. I liked the song. So I thought that came off okay. I thought Beetlejuice did not come off well.
Oh.
But you disagree.
I just like... I'm a fan of Beetlejuice. And like, not even of the movie, just...
The demon?
Yeah, just the demon. He's a really great guy, guys. He's here right now. Beetlejuice. Hi there. Yeah, it was so weird, because out here in Sydney, both of those albums, Tootsie and Beetlejuice, dropped while we were out here in our first week.
And lines were around the yeah. corner.
And so I downloaded and listened to them both, and I...
Legally,
yes, of course. Off of iTunes. And I... listened to them both, and I liked Beetlejuice way more than I liked Tootsie.
Oh.
Mostly just because I don't know. It's so weird and like chaotic, but I think the jokes in the album are funnier than the jokes in the album of Tootsie.
Uh-huh.
Like there's fun lyrics in Beetlejuice, like Beetlejuice asking like why he was put in this situation. He's like, "Why God / Satan did you put me here?" And I'm like, that's pretty funny. That's a good joke.
Hmm.
And he also calls out. During a dance break, he goes, a dance break on an album? This is great. Like, this, who is this for?
What did you think of their performance?
It was fine. It's such a weird, like, when that music starts, it sounds like we're in a Nickelodeon commercial, right? Which is, like, part of, like, the Danny Elfman-esque thing they're going for. But It's a very silly, like, I get it, it's like, yeah, it's Beetlejuice, we want to show Deo, and then we want to, like, put in our original opening number.
Yeah.
And feature our Tony nominee. But the truth is that it's not a great way to sell tickets to that show.
Uh-huh.
I didn't feel like I wanted to see it any more or any less. It was just kind of like a drink of water. Like, oh yeah, that's what that is. It was a representation.
Yeah.
The only ones that I thought... to me, improved, like, my anticipation of seeing them were Choir Boy, which I can't.
Right.
Choir Boy, I thought that number was great. I love that number. I love stepping, so, like, I will just watch that all day.
Uh-huh.
Hadestown. Hadestown is still a little bit, like, I'm having to convince myself that I'm interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm having a little bit to be like, I bet I'll really feel good about myself after I watch this. Like, it feels a little bit like eating vegetables.
Yeah, I will cathart at this play, yeah.
So, I thought this, I don't know what performance they had another performance recently where we watched it, and I was like, it doesn't look that.
Mm-hmm.
But this looked, I thought, pretty compelling.
Yeah, I thought the staging looked great. I thought the music was great.
Also, there was one of those Fates women's was like an Asian woman. I was like, ooh, her voice is really good.
Yeah, she was great.
And those lights
swinging. The lights swinging. So cool. Rachel Chavkin's speech was really good.
I loved her speech. I loved Andre DeShields' speech. Uh-huh. His three things, like, you know, make sure that someone, you surround yourself with people whose eyes light up when you walk in a room, I thought was great. Mm-hmm. I thought Ali Stroker's speech was great.
Uh-huh. I thought we'd seen that before. Did she do it on Colbert before, her song?
Yes.
I still thought, I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
The rest of that Oklahoma number was a little like, huh?
It's an interesting arrangement. I'm really looking forward to hearing the recording of that show.
See, now
to
that,
hear what they've done with it.
That performance hurt my interest in that show.
Really?
Because I thought it was going to be like very dark and... When they got to the Oklahoma part, I was kind of like, oh, this is like...
it's Oklahoma.
Well, I was almost like, oh, the band from Waitress, like, got off their diner tables and now they're... You know what I mean? It, like, had this... It had the feeling of, like, that there's a lot of these days that these... Like, we're all a community. It's a group coming together to do it, like, once and Waitress and stuff. So it didn't feel as dark and edgy as I thought it was supposed to be.
Uh-huh.
And in that guy's performance, too.
Uh-huh.
So that hurt a little bit, my interest. But I love her. I'd like to see her.
Yeah.
A show that I kind of hurt, one of the ones that hurt my interest was the Ain't Too Proud.
I thought that the first chunk of that was legit bad. Like, and I think I will say that when we saw it in LA, I'm guessing maybe some audio issues with him hearing he was like off tempo and like it was, and he was doing riffs that when the riffs don't line up with the beat, they sound bad. Like,
yeah.
So I was, but then at the end, the guy hit a high note for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And that, was that the same guy that's in Choir Boy? I think.
Oh, because there was one who was nominated for both, right?
Because I think he hit a high note in both of their performances.
Well, he was warmed up. It was working.
Yeah. But what occurred to you about Ain't Too Proud when you were watching it?
That it seemed like the focus of that performance, at least, was just a scattershot of like, hey, let's throw the kitchen sink in this performance to get some more people interested in coming to see the show.
Yeah.
As opposed to like
create like a moment.
Yeah, create a moment or try to stand out. I mean, when they all came out dancing in the suits, like, and it's like all of them, I enjoyed that one a lot.
Yeah.
But nothing really stood out as like a... It just seemed like it was like, hey, here's all the songs that like you know from the Temptations and also like are really popular from our show. So like,
yeah,
let's just like roll them out.
Mm-hmm. To me, I refamiliarized myself with that. I didn't love the choreo in that show.
Yeah.
Especially when you're familiar with the Temptations' real choreo, which is really not super flashy and not them trying to do like lots of athletic things. Mm-hmm. It's weird. I was thinking... The thing is, I can go on YouTube and see the Temptations.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be as good as the Temptations. Right. Otherwise, I'll just be like, I'll just watch the real Temptations.
Right. Also, like, the athleticism, as you mentioned, of the choreography then hurts the music because you can hear them like,
yes.
I know you, but
here's...
Yeah, it's like...
And sometimes they're just jogging or running in a way that's not helpful. That's probably why the Temptations were... very calm in a lot of their choreo to like sing well.
Yeah, because you're a music group.
Yeah.
Choreography doesn't play well on albums.
Not so well.
Yeah.
You know, except for Beetlejuice Dance Break.
Yeah, that was great.
Just to sum up, I did not like the prom. I thought that the Brooks Ismaniskas song was horrible. Like, I hate everything about that character. Of being the like, go to your gay uncle. I was like, it's fabulous.
Right.
I was just, when he was like, make it fierce, I was like, is this like the 1989? What is, this is like we took the script of Jeffrey and made it into a musical.
What a great idea.
Yeah, that would play really badly too. So, and we're on record, me loving Brooks Ismaniskas and thinking he's a comic genius, but I was like, this is not good. Like, I hate this so much.
It feels very... like a dated view of, like, but I also think he's supposed to be a caricature. He's supposed to be this, like, aging queen of a star.
It was like Cameron from Modern Family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another character I hate.
Yeah.
But
at least Brooks is actually on our team.
I guess, yeah.
He's not, like, doing gay face.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. That gay face. But overall, I think the bathroom number was fun. I thought the prom came off well once the big numbers started.
Uh-huh.
I did not care for Ain't Too Proud. I did not care at all for Beetlejuice. And as far as the rest of the Oklahoma performance, you said you just...
It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you think of Kiss Me Kate?
I didn't love it that much.
I just don't like Kiss Me Kate.
Okay.
He doesn't like kissing.
Yeah, I don't like kissing, and I hate girls named Kate.
Yeah.
Right.
I just don't really care. Like, whenever it comes on, it just kind of, like, I zone out a mm-hmm. little bit.
Yeah.
Even though it's, like, it's
part Is that of the still history. Running?
Yes. It closes, I think, this week or okay. next week.
Oh, by the way, Gary posted.
Yep.
Did anything else post?
So far, no.
Okay.
The people are kind of on the watch for the prom. People uh-huh. think the prom is going to go soon. And Beetlejuice is on the teeter point.
Well, everything has to die eventually. According yeah. to them,
it's a song about yeah. death.
The whole, yeah. being dead thing.
I will be honest. My viewing got interrupted, so I did not see the Kiss Me Kate performance yet.
Well, you can watch it and report back.
But they did Too Darn Hot again, right?
Yes, I had a real deja vu because you've shown me a Too Darn Hot from a different production,
from the '99 production,
and I was like, he's sitting in the same upstage left box next to a window yep. that the other guy
with the radio in it. Yeah,
is it supposed to be the same or?
Well, it's the same scene. It's the same song. It's
I know,
same...
but it was like I was like I think I've seen this before.
Yeah,
the way it was set up and everything.
I just feel like for me personally, like I don't love Kiss Me Kate, but I enjoy it. I thought the '99 revival was great. It was really
is that
really
Kelly O'Hara?
No, that's Kelly O'Hara's doing the one now.
Oh, so she just was introing it. And didn't have to be in the performance.
Yeah, she's starting.
That's convenient.
Yeah, it's her and Will Chase. And Will Chase has gotten, like, zero press for this.
Really?
Yeah, he's Petruchio. He's the lead.
That's great, though, to be able to be like, we're going to do a number, but I'm not going to do it.
Right, like, exactly. Yeah, it would be like Pat of the Pwn being like, and here's the strippers from Gypsy. Yeah. But I think the revival, I think the timing of it is ill-timed because Maren Maisie was the lead in the last revival, and she just passed away not too long ago. And I know that they did a tribute to her, and they like, you know, they. Yeah. Kelly was very respectful. She's actually wearing a costume piece that Maren wore in that production, in this production. That they made sure that she had one of the hats. I like Kelly O'Hara. I just don't think this production seems all that exciting.
Yeah,
and it seems maybe too soon for another yeah. revival.
And is it a piece? I don't know the show at all. Is it a thing that like really demands to be done this much?
Not really. Yeah. It's a show within a show. It's Taming of the Shrew, and yeah. then it's a backstage story about the two leads were married.
Oh, is the Too Darn Hot in the show within the show?
No.
They mentioned it in the intro. Like, yeah. Is it it's, on a break
it's,
from
it's
it?
It's in an intermission yeah. of opening night of their show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Of Kiss Me Kate the Musical.
My problem with that song is they talk sure. about how hot it is, and they dance. Like, just lay still.
Just lay still. Don't move your legs.
I want to shout out Bryan Cranston's speech, yeah. which is a prime example of a dad joke trying to deal with wokeness in the worst possible way. Because he got up and he was like, finally, the old straight white guy gets a break. And then he was like, you know, so many people in this production have touched me. Not in a Me Too way. And it's like, dude...
Oh,
like
stop.
He didn't. The reduction of Me Too to just being like a convenient way to say that sexual assault in a joke. That's not the point of Me Too. It's not so you can just stick it in a
it's not a punchline.
Yeah, it wasn't that big a deal. But I was just like, this is such a like guy trying to figure out how to deal with these issues in a way like.
And it for me, that always reeks of, like, he didn't prepare a speech. He was like, I win, I lose, it doesn't matter.
And of all people, he should have, because yeah. it was pretty, like...
The clear front runner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any upsets as far as the winners to you?
I didn't know enough about any... All the winners were just like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Like, you know.
For me, the upset was Hadestown. I thought Tootsie was going to take it.
Oh,
really?
I'm glad Hadestown took it, but I thought Tootsie was going to.
It seemed as the night was going on that it was like Hadestown has momentum.
Yeah.
Like they were winning so many things.
Yeah, there was definitely like, I think the producers of Tootsie were probably like, shit, like there's a sweep happening. It's happening.
Yeah.
Well, there was a lot of, this sounds silly because Tootsie's whole thing is like, it's like the musical comedy you've been waiting for, but like, that's been said about a lot of musical comedies this year.
Yeah.
As
or
part
in
of,
past years, too.
Yeah, in past years, too, that it's like, okay, the field is pretty crowded, and what we're really waiting for is like what's going to be like the next emotionally powerful moving thing, you know, like looking back at what won last year and then the year before that and then the year before that. It's like none of these things are comedies.
Yeah The last one was Gentleman's Guide.
That was the last comedy.
Their last like frivolous one.
Really?
Wow.
Because last year it was
Ben's Visit.
The year before it was Evan Hansen. The year before it was Hamilton.
Yeah. Well, that's a laugh riot.
And there was the year before that Fun Home.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. You're
and then
right.
The year before that was Gentleman's Guide.
Yeah.
So
it has been a while. Yeah.
I mean, Gentleman's. Yeah, it's so frivolous. It's just there's not a lot of space right now for like super light, or if it is, it has to be done so well. I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't thought about that. It had been that long since like a real comedy had won, but you're right.
What won for Revival? Was it Oklahoma?
Yeah. It was only Oklahoma and Kiss Me, Kate. There were only two this year.
I'm trying to think of why. I have to look something up. Talk about something else.
Well, I just jumping on real quick about David Yazbek. Mm-hmm. They just announced that, or not announced, but it's now been officially put out there that Princess Bride is his next musical.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Now, was it Lipa or Gettle? Okay.
Yeah, which makes me very sad because I really, really wanted to hear the Gettle version because I bet it would be incredible.
You liked Myth and Hymns, right?
I love
Myth and Hymns. Yeah.
I love Saturn Returns.
Well, you can see Myth and Hymns.
I love Floyd Collins.
You can see Myth and Hymns on Broadway right now as Hadestown. It seems very similar.
Well, yeah, musically it's not, though.
But
yeah.
It seems very, like, let's tell myths in this way.
Yeah.
Yeah, in a different way that,
And I love Piazza.
in case he's listening.
I had to say that.
Adam.
By the way, Piazza will be at the LA Opera in October
and
with Barbara Cook.
No, Barbara Cook is dead.
Barbara Corcoran from Shark's Take.
I'd rather see Barbara Cook.
Barbara Corcoran.
Barbara Mandrell.
Dove Cameron?
Dove Cameron and, she was just in the last revival of Carousel. What's her name? Oh, God, I can't think of it.
She won the Tony?
Mm-mm.
No?
No. Well, she might have. Actually, I think she might. She's an opera person who, like, her first musical was Carousel. And now,
then not.
I can't think of what her name is. Anyway, her. It's going to be the LA
Opera.
Just a shout. The one I was looking at was shout out to the lead producer for Oklahoma, is Eva Price, or one of the from Maximum Entertainment, who was the producer management company for 50 Shades of the Musical.
Really?
So when she got up to give the acceptance speech, I was like, that's the lady that used to like sign our checks for 50 Shades every week.
That's crazy. Renee Fleming.
Renee Fleming.
Yeah, Barbara.
Yeah, Barbara Cook.
Barbara Cook.
Who's Barbara Cook? What's that from?
I don't know.
Nathan Lane in Love, Valor, Compassion.
Oh.
I know.
Well, now that she's passed away, it's not as funny a joke, but I know someone who used to call Barbara Cook, Barbara, cook me up some more food. Because she's a larger woman.
Oh.
I can make the joke, I'm fat.
Not for long, given the way these guys are working hard in Thrones, the musical parody.
Get your tickets
now.
Any final thoughts about the Tonys, you guys?
Yeah, you know, it was pretty standard. There wasn't a lot of upsets, and I wasn't particularly really excited about any of the performances.
That's what makes me sad. Like, the Tony Awards are my Super Bowl. Like, that's my one night of the year that I really look forward to, and when the telecast is disappointing, it's like, all right, well, maybe we'll get it next year.
I guess what I don't understand is it seems to be about, like, you have pretty much the core of the most talented, like, live performance people. So that's why I liked Choir Boy so much, because Choir Boy was just like, these 11 guys are just doing a live performance. This is what they do. It's really good. And there should be more moments like that. Everything that's like a bit in the show, I think, should be more like the Billy Porter non-televised thing.
Yeah. That's what I loved about, okay, so James Corden doing that during the breaks is great, because it's like, great, he's actually hosting the party,
right?
Yeah. He's like, yeah, we get it, it's a TV show, but it's not just for the audience at home. There's an audience here, and utilizing that, and like the games, I like the games. I like the bit of like, there's a lot of Broadway beef out here, and like,
that was fun.
There's a lot of like fun, or practice your losing face, like all these bits I felt were like really great, because these are a bunch of people like that the community and like Broadway fans know and love, but a random audience member might not necessarily know, and it gets them some screen time and some exposure, and it's really fun too to see like a more human side of people that were like for us are on the other side of the country that we only hear on our iPods.
You know? Right. I want there to be more live. The opening number was about how it was live.
More
spontaneity. I want there to be more spontaneity.
Yes.
And not Marissa Tomei walking up and there not being anything on the prompter and her just being like, there are no words. And I'm like, cool, this is the Tony Awards, like celebrating how great people are at live performance and
covering things. And, yeah. Like,
just cover it.
Somehow. Yeah. 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 I will say, like, I don't know how many, like, how far back or how long you guys have been watching the Tonys. For me, one of my favorite telecasts ever was the 86 Tony Awards, because it was an anniversary of, like, it's the 40th anniversary of the Tony Awards, or the 50th or whatever. And they staged it like it was a cocktail party. So everyone was on stage the whole time. There were, like, 40 just guest stars who were there. So it was, like, Bea Arthur and Rankin and Sandy Duncan and all these, like, people who had these huge careers. And, like Tony Randall and just huge people all kind of sitting around a cocktail party talking about, like, oh, remember 1955, damn Yankees? Oh, do a number. And they would get up and do, like, and it was so much fun to watch, like, Ann Rankin and Sandy Duncan and I can't think of who the
third one. Renee Fleming.
And Renee Fleming, yes. Doing, like, Folie Bergère from 9 and then, like, immediately stripping into something else. And it was so much fun. And it was so weird because of some of the songs they assigned to people. Like, Nell Carter doing Memory was very weird. Bea Arthur doing Nothing's Gonna Harm You, No Sir, Not While I'm Around is so wonderfully fun. But it was like, it was just this weird mix of people. Alfonso Ribeiro was one of the kids on it.
Doing the Carlton.
Well, kind of, yeah, no.
Take that, but, Fortnite.
Right.
Yeah. Fuck Fortnite.
Fuck you, Fortnite.
Can't wait to write Fortnite the Musical.
At the Sydney Opera House, 2021.
Yeah. So I would love if they would go back to that kind of format. It was really fun. I thought it was fun. If you have the chance to go YouTube and do it. But yeah, I think more spontaneity and more just the joy of live theater and feeling like it's not so stodgy and not so serious and like just enjoy it and have a good time.
Yeah.
And it'll translate across the footlights to us.
Yeah, don't try to make it like the Oscars.
Yeah.
You know?
Because it's never going to be the Oscars. Yeah. No one's going to... There aren't enough people who care.
Well, Jordan, thanks so much for being on the podcast.
Well, thanks for having me. Get out of my house.
Yeah. Okay. You guys have got to get ready for your second matinee.
All right.
Yeah.
And there's our call.
People are knocking.
All right. Great. We'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.